Greetings, adventurers! Celeste here to say welcome to another episode of Venture Maidens. In case you missed the announcement, from this point forward, we will now be referring to this and all following main story episodes as the Favor Campaign, instead of Campaign 2. So I'd like to officially welcome you to episode 18 of the Favor Campaign. Rebranding hundreds of episodes is no small feat, so we appreciate your patience as we roll out the updated name on your podcast feeds, our website, our YouTube, our wiki, and everywhere else you can find info about the show. Before we get to the recap, I also want to share some fun personal news. I have been invited to DM for the D&D in a Castle event this coming September, and as of today, June 26th, 2022, I've got 4 seats still available at my table. D&D in a Castle is an outrageously cool event where attendees play through a 3-day-long D&D campaign while staying in Lumley Castle in North England. So, if you'd like to come on the adventure of a lifetime with me as your personal dungeon master, head over to dndinacastle.com and book a seat at my table for round 4, which is September 7th through 11th of this year, 2022. I would absolutely love to have my table full of adventurers to share this incredible luxury vacation with, so head on over to the website to learn more and make sure to tell your friends who would be interested in making a little medieval magic. Again, the website is dndinacastle.com, and we'll have a link to the website included in this episode's show notes. Okay, so that's the business, so a quick thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our fabulous theme song, and to Tabletop Audio for providing all the other music you hear in this episode. And of course, thank you to our Patreon donors, who allow us to keep making the show. You are absolute heroes. So without further ado, last time on Venture Maidens. After running for their lives, our heroes emerged victorious on the streets of Chaosiana. Bartleby and Index thanked them for a job well done, handing off the promised bag of ingredients needed to bond to the Chicken Hut. They return to Bucatini to find Rook conscious and finally ready to answer some questions about her bizarre condition. She shared that not too long ago, she was actually a fey creature who asked the Weird Sisters to turn her into a mortal. The sisters did so, but in a cruel twist also made it so she ages 1 year for every day that passes, and upon her death, starts the mortal life cycle all over again. Though the maidens were horrified to hear the cruelty the sisters are capable of, they were grateful to the hunter for finally opening up, and everyone settled down for some well-deserved rest. In the morning, the group said their goodbyes to Frida before returning to the Chicken Hut to conduct the bonding ritual. With Mr. B's implements in hand, the ritual was a success, and our party finally has a home to call their own. And that's what happened! So now, here's the episode.
Round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our crew returns to where their deal was struck, but the journey is riddled with bad luck. For even statues kill for sport on the Isle of Heaven's Court. Watch your head as we step into episode 18, Trading Favors.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Wow. Oh, boy. I'm so excited to be here. We're 18. We're 18 years old today. Episode 18. yay. So, you know, we are adults. We can go to war. So there you go. That's exciting. How does everybody feel? Episode 18. Go. Feelings. Where are we at?
I'm just so fucking excited we finally did that ritual with our cutie little home that we've got going.
I know. Oh, you have yes. A house now. 18 years old and you have a house. What kind of adults?
Truly fantasy life.
We don't even have a mortgage.
No mortgage. You inherited a sick house. You're living, you
the
know.
Long lost uncle who lives in Rhode Island left you a house.
What could be wrong?
The only way we'll ever experience being homeowners.
Yep, in our fantasy role-playing game. Hell yeah.
Too real.
But anyway, after that truth bomb, hey everybody, welcome! We're the Venture Maidens! We are a D&D actual play 5th edition stream show that converts to a podcast. Hey, welcome if you're new. I should warn you, this is a very adult-themed stream, so you can always expect, general content warnings of graphic fantasy violence, just general badassery. For this evening, we are returning to the Feywilds, everyone. So we've got some content warnings coming up, specifically gaslighting and coercion are two big themes you might see in this episode, as well as really anything dealing with the Fey. So just keep that in mind. If those triggers aren't something you can handle tonight, this may not be the stream for you to watch. But with that out of the way, let's dive in, because I'm thrilled to get started. So hey everybody, my name is Celeste Konowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, my name is Katie, and I'm going to be playing Lou, your female Dark Elf Drow Rogue. I'm reading off D&D Beyond because
I know, it's been I was forever. Like, female.
I am female, I am strong, and I'm ready to kick some ass.
I am a strong female Drow.
Hey, I'm Nassim. I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Fetonia Silvertail, and sorry,
we're struggling.
Trying to plug my light back in.
Oh no. Oh, the drama. Oh no.
We're doing it live!
Doing it live!
We need some illumination.
Oh, very good. And I am Sage, and tonight I will be Aoife, your bubbly bard.
Oh, yay! Oh, gosh. Well, hey, everybody, full crew. You know, we're back. We're back, headed back to the fairy realm called the wilds in our world. And it's all very exciting. So that is where we are picking up. At the very end of last episode, you had just completed the bonding ritual to the house. You had been stitched into, that typical cross stitch, when you imagine you go to your grandmother's house and you see that, hanging above the door. I know there's a word for that I can't remember. But yeah, you were stitched in and now you are officially part of this house. It is your home, which means a few different things. So one, you can command the house to move now. Rook has asked you to please not do that. As long as she's there and able to do it, she would prefer to do it, but you can do it now. You no longer have to rub the stuff on your eyes to see the house. Now you can always see it. You have an instinctual knowledge as well of where it is. It's kind of like if you were to close your eyes and, spin around until you were really dizzy, something in your mind would tell you where this thing was. You have that deep kind of magical connection to it. As a third benefit, you can now also command Gordon. Gordon has to listen to you when you tell him to do things. So
love that.
Yeah, but I will warn you, Gordon is a fae, and like all fae, you have to be very careful about what you ask for and the way you ask for it. So just keep that in mind. It's all flexible. But yeah, on that note, so right at that moment, you had just finished this ritual. And you had seen, all of these autumn-scented candles that had been flaring up during this ritual have now all burnt out. And the fireplace has gone down now to just glowing embers. And everything is gone kind of back to normal in the living room around you. You do still have all the chalk lines and all the ritual implements and everything that Aoife, you and Rook had set up before the ritual are still scattered about. And now they look kind of weird and out of place in this very cozy, log cabin style living room. But Rook, yeah, she's looking at this embroidery thing and looks up at all of you and says, "Well, I think that worked. Do you feel any different?"
I feel really cozy and at home. And that cross stitch got a lot better than how it started, so I can only assume magic happened.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. And she shoves it back in the box that she had retrieved, from under the floorboard that she had stored it in, and stuffs back, just a handful of stuff into the box and walks over towards the corner of the room and starts shoving it down into that, that hidden floorboard where she had kept it before.
Well, to the wilds? Is that what we decided next?
To the wilds, to the realm, to the realm.
Yeah, right. The weird sisters. Great. Rook says and stamps down on the floorboard to close it.
You know, it'd be really nice if we had some kind of, or me specifically, I'm trying not to get too involved with, you know, the sisters, as I already am. Mm-hmm. So, is there any recommendations as to, like, a repellent for those dream dragons?
The thing is, what's very, bad and weird about all of this is that those things, if they're dream dragons or whatever, they should have nothing to do with the weird sisters, right? Because clearly those things are part of the sleeping court, and the sisters are part of the heavenly court. So I don't know exactly what's going on here, and I have no idea, frankly, how to even guard against that. Because if they're working together, then everybody's fucked, right? So I don't really know. We're gonna have to go, like a library or something, or somebody who knows more about what the hell's going on. But I don't really know.
It was so odd. We had woken up just, you know, the other morning when you came in bloodied and a mess. And when morning came, there were just thousands of those dragons. And I remember the night before I had this really weird dream talking to this like really dragon-like fey individual, these long whiskers. And he told me to remember the name, that the name is important. And something about birds. It was all so weird. And then this giant came that was like a body of mist, and we saved it, and we pulled the Corellon's bell out of its throat. And I don't know. There's been a lot of dreaming lately.
Yeah, Lou clears her throat. She's like, speaking of all of that, so I'm an elf, obviously. And she gestures towards her ears. I feel a little weird sharing this because some of the stuff has been kind of personal, but I've been dreaming two times, and that's not something I do ever. The first dream, it was about my fiance, but the second dream, it had that mist creature in it, and it came to me, seemed very friendly, and I, you know, accepted its help to get somewhere because I had already helped it, so I figured it was kind of like repaying a fey debt sort of thing. But it took me to this tree where it raised me up into it, and I looked through all the branches, and I ended up pulling out a cage with like mini versions of you guys in it. And then it said to remember the bird, like you were saying, Aoife, and there was a golden bird. And I have absolutely no skills in interpreting dreams, because that was my second one, baby's second dream. So any insight we could garner on that would make me feel a lot more comfortable, because I hate dreaming. I do not like not being in control. And I would like it to stop.
Yeah, that's weird. I've never had a dream, so.
And it's great, right?
even as a human?
Well, I mean, fey don't dream, and I guess I maybe just haven't thought to have one as a mortal. I don't know, is that how it works?
Oh, no, not at all. You're just like, it's like being thrown in a lake in the middle of the night. You're just thrashing around, reckless, stumbling through your own subtle subconscious. It's really quite weird.
That's horrific.
It is. Well, it really is, if you think about it.
There is, I guess there's something we could do to try and defend ourselves against it. There's something known as lucid dreaming, if you can make yourself aware of the state you're in, that you are in fact dreaming, some people can practice and take control of the dream. So if it were to happen to you again, Lou, that's one way of trying to get back your control somewhat. I mean, some people in my tribe knew how to do it, and I tried to do it when I was a kid. I never really got a good handle on it, but the most I could do is be aware that I'm in a dream. But beyond that, I never really managed to get control. But at least that might help.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a great room now with a great tub. I could take some time, read a book about it, but maybe they'll have some more literature back in Coven or something. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I didn't want it to stop.
Did you see those dream dragons nearby or any sign that they'd been by? Because when you had the dreams, because I know they had those weird little marbles that we saw in their little claws that she like gestures with her hands of like pointing her fingers little claw fingies with her hands. When we went into that sandman's den,
Lou reaches into our new bag of holding on her hip and she goes, "These marbles?"
Them marbles?
This is the one that I found by me when I had my first dream at camp. And this is the one, I mean, actually, I don't know which is which. They're the fucking same. But I found another one after I had my second dream. So I don't know what they're for.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the Sleeping Court. They're kind of outsiders, I guess, even amongst the courts, which they're weird, honestly. I don't know, but yeah, if they're messing around in your heads, we should absolutely figure out a way to stop that, because whatever they're doing, it's not good. And if they're connected to the Weird Sisters in any way, it's extra not good. So as soon as we take care of whatever the Weird Sisters want, which hopefully doesn't kill us, we should, yeah, do this lucid dreaming stuff or read about it, or I don't know, but we need to absolutely stop whatever is happening.
I'm on board.
Is there a library on the way to the wilds?
No, there are definitely places in Coven we can go, so maybe, I don't know, we'll see what the Weird Sisters want, and then hopefully head right back to Coven, and maybe we can start there.
All right, sounds like a plan.
Fire her up, or whatever it is that you do.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. So we don't have a ring, so we're going to have to go right to the edge of the court de Mesny. So, Gordon? she yells at Gordon! And there's like a thumping and a rolling sound like going down the stairs, like chomp, 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 chomp. And you hear, oh, look, you're back in good health. What fun. What fun. Oh, and all of you, three of you now here in this house permanently.
Hi.
Yes, Tony, there's like a
big cheeky smile.
Yeah, a tendril that comes out that like coils underneath him and kind of lifts up the pumpkin body and turns, you know, the head, the triangle eyes to look at all of you. So permanent. You're here to stay. Is that right?
Together forever, sweet Gordon.
Oh, forever. Forever in the house with Gordon. What fun! What fun!
Yeah, I'm having the time of my life. Thank you, Gordon.
I love Gordon. What can I do for all of you now that you live here in this house? Where are we going together forever? And Rook just waits for him to be done and then says, take us to the court to Mesny, the lake, the crossing point. And Gordon says, all right, buckle up! And there's like a popping sound as he retracts his vines and just sits there in the middle of the floor, and his eyes go out. And the house starts to do that slight shaking as, you know, the big chicken legs underneath unfold and kind of stretch themselves out as the house like tilts and turns and then begins to move. And as the house picks up speed, it becomes it's like, you know, when you first get on a boat, you feel it moving. But after a while, everything becomes more solid and you seem to be back on your way into the wilds. Whatever this crossing point is that Rook referred to.
How long should it take us?
Well, how long did it take to get here? It was probably like
four hours
or so. Yeah, 3-4 hours. Not very long. So Rook will say it'll probably take just a little bit more than that time because distance is different in the fairy wilds. So the house can travel in the fey wilds much, much easier than it can in the mortal realm, so it'll take way less time.
Sounds good. I guess I'll make some sandwiches.
Yeah. If you all want to, I don't know, gear up, who the hell knows what they want from us, so bring all of your weapons.
Right. Got it.
She shrugs.
Aoife looks around. And then sits on the couch.
I got my voice.
I've got this deadly weapon.
My charms, bitch. I got looks that can kill. Yes.
Power word slay.
Slay. Power word slay.
Oh my god, I love that shirt.
We're renaming the power word kill spell. It's now power word slay.
I love it.
Yes.
Gordon.
You hear from inside the pumpkin.
Would you please launder my gear, my outfit, my boots? They're all still a little crusty from our last adventure. I haven't had the time.
Laundry? You wish Gordon to do laundry?
Yes, please.
Well,
I'm gonna die.
I suppose give me your laundry and I'll see what I can do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. She stomps over to her room, grabs the big mound of mud and junk and feces and all the shit that's dried onto her clothes now and holds it outstretched away from her body for Gordon.
Gordon doesn't, like, pick it up or offer vine arms or anything, so you're standing there in front of this pumpkin on the floor. Do you just, like, dump it onto him, or what do you...
Yes. She will dump it over him.
Yeah. And as, you know, things clatter and, like, armor falls, you hear, like, from under the pile. Laundry.
Let me know when it's done.
Yeah, it's just like a muttering sound as you leave, leaving this pile on the floor.
Oh, boy.
It's going in the book. The Book of Gordon Grievances.
Oh, I'm sure Tony will have her own book.
I just imagine there's, like, a little, like, mouse hole, but, like, pumpkin size somewhere, where on the inside, yes. It's just, like, scratched in chaos writing of all the people he's gonna kill one day.
Yeah, there's just, like, portraits hung up in red string in between them all, like, his payback list. Amazing. So Gordon is doing laundry. Cool. Yeah, so we're all chilling, we're all relaxing, should we just say time passes and then you get there?
Yeah.
Okay. Time passes and about 4 hours or so go by before you feel the house stop. So once again, it is that slight shifting of everything and then a vague feeling of like being in an elevator as clearly the chicken house is folding its legs and sitting back down on the ground. and Rook, who has been pacing the living room and then like running upstairs and going back downstairs. She seems very nervous this whole time. And the minute the house like touches down, Rook is down the stairs and like looking out, you know, the curtained windows. And she solemnly, you know, says, "We're here."
Lou just wipes and cleans off the knife that she's been using and kind of flips it and sticks it under her side pouch. And she's like, "Okay, is there anything you think that maybe we should bring with us? I mean, you have all these great, like, arrows and everything just in case things get shaky. But do you have anything backup-wise that we could use so that you're not alone in this if something comes up?"
And she looks at you and, "Well, I do have some weapons, but honestly, you shouldn't carry them. I don't, the kind of stuff I use, most Fae don't look on kindly, let's just say. Probably safer if we don't share for now."
"Okay. Well, I respect that decision, but I would like to put my own opinion out there that I don't like it when Fae mind control my friends and try to destroy me, so."
"That is fair, but do keep in mind, the Weird Sisters are calling us here because they want something from us. They're calling in a favor, right? That's what they said, Tony?"
"Yes, that is right."
"So as long as we go in and are receptive and just get the mission and get out, we shouldn't have any problems. And don't accept anything they give you. Okay? Don't, even if they hand you something, don't take it. Anything could be read as acceptance, right?"
"Okay.
Right.
What if they just give me a hand, like literally a hand?"
Just don't. And a rule. Okay, rule, right.
Yes, rules.
Yes. Faye, if you ask them if they're trying to make a bargain, they have to tell you the truth. So you can always ask, right? It's like an unwritten thing, right? They have to tell you if you ask. But so don't accept anything, and when in doubt, ask. What's up?
"Oh, real quick, for a refresher, it's been a hot minute. My name is Marnie. What were your guys' names again?"
"Oh,
Thersha."
Right. "Thersha Franny. And Franny.
Franny."
I'm like literally writing these down.
Yeah, I'm writing them down right now. No. I keep forgetting to
fuck up, and then like 2 years later, Celeste is like, "Ha ha!"
But that was in Coven. That wasn't in for the Weird Sisters, right? Did they ever get her name?
All Fae.
Oh, okay, got it. Is my laundry done?
You don't see Gordon anywhere.
Gordon, she calls out for him.
There's a stony silence.
I thought this was supposed to be one of the perks.
Gordon, please come here with the clean laundry.
And do you hear like a from somewhere, like a sad puppy sound? And then you hear like a creaking sound, and just all of this stuff falls out of the ceiling as like one of the boards like falls down and like drops in a pile in front of you. And Tony, your stuff is there and it's all clean. It does smell like pumpkin spice, but everything is a little bit oranger than it last was. just enough that you notice it, but it's probably fine, but it's something is definitely a little bit different about it.
"All right, well, thank you."
And there's like a ceiling sound as the board in the ceiling is moved back into place.
Lou's just like, "It's clean, but I gotta tell you that new tint doesn't do anything for your undertones.
It directly clashes."
"Well, there's always, is there bleach? Does anyone have bleach?
Fantasy bleach? No.
Fantasy bleach?
No. We could probably find like a, would prestidigitation?
Probably. Okay. Yeah, like a little cantrip, you know, magic spell to change a color or something. But
Yeah, we'll fix it. Yeah. It smells great, though. Good job, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
There's more cold silence from the ceiling.
She'll get dressed up real fast. Armor up.
Okay. So when we leave, we're going to be stepping into in-between. So in-between is the part of the Fae that's the most dangerous in the wilds, right? Because it moves around and... Right. So just stay on guard. Don't walk away. Just follow me and it'll be fine. And then we'll come into the Demesne and that'll be a whole thing. And then we'll just walk and it'll be fine.
What?
Right.
What's Demesne? Was that Demesne?
Oh, yeah. Demesne. Okay. So, how do I? Okay. So each of the courts have it, I guess, mortals. It's like a country, maybe you would say, in the wilds, right? So it's like a territory that is powered by the sovereign, right? So it reflects them and their thing. So if you walk into the heavenly court, right, there's like stars and shit all over the place. And then if you walk into like the, you know, the blossoming court, there's plants and shit everywhere.
Got it. Yeah.
But it's not like it's not like space, like you think of it, because it can be in multiple places. It doesn't all have to be connected.
Oh. It'll be sparkly. Got it. Okay. Like.
Yeah.
Like starry. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And do all the Fae belong to a court, or are there people who exist outside of the courts?
That's like all of Coven, right? Is like that?
Yeah, the court, the Coven's its own thing. They want nothing to do with the courts. But I mean, more and more Fae are starting to join the courts. It's become kind of a big thing. But a lot of people, like my family, had nothing to do with any of the courts, right? And then, of course, they're the Archfae, which can't have anything to do with the courts, because that's a whole other thing. And
oof.
Well, Eva's like visibly like chewing on this information.
Louis's been like taking notes and like pausing and like writing personal thoughts on it on the side. It seems if the courts have always kind of not gotten along and more people are joining up, and also the weird sisters are starting to work with this dream court or sleeping court or whatever you said it was.
Yeah.
That might be not great for our plane.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
It's all kind of clicking now? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm, bad. She just writes bad and underlines it on a note.
Courts bad.
Okay. Great. All right. She just like slowly walks back to the kitchen and like puts another knife in her satchel, and then like
just one more,
three more, and she's like, okay, yeah, let's go, this is fine.
Right, so again, walking into a Demesne, it's like powered by the sovereign and all the Fae there, right? So their magic is all over the fucking place. So if there's one place you shouldn't piss them off, it's in their house, right? Okay, so just be
reasonable.
Cool.
Yes,
like,
ma'am.
Like a cucumber.
I'm great with people.
You really are.
Not people. Not people. So not people.
I mean, generally, she like annoyingly gestures.
All right. And she lets out a deep breath and opens up the door. And immediately on the other side, you can tell that wherever you are, it's very moist, as like this dense fog kind of rushes in. And so you were standing in a very like silvery wooded area, and you can smell immediately water somewhere beyond you, like the smell of a lake and like verdant trees from somewhere just beyond the curling trails of mist.
After you, Rook.
Great. And she steps down and she is scanning, you know, from side to side. And you can see, you know, the very large crossbow that looked comically large just a few days ago now fits very nicely in her, you know, adult sized hands. She's got that at her side, clearly ready just in case, as she steps out. And you can hear, you know, the crunching of leaves underfoot and pine needles as she starts to walk off in a direction.
I'm gonna hustle after her. I don't want to be separated. That's all we need.
As long as you put the fear of Fae in you, that's all you need.
The fear of Fae.
The fear of Fae.
I mean, I feel like Aoife can't help but to try and be just, like, really quiet. And whenever she, like, speaks, she's just, like, whispering and, like, trying to very, like, delicately, you know, crunch over these leaves and everything. Like, every sound just feels like an offense.
Yeah, and it's odd. It's you can't even tell what time of day it is, honestly, because the fog is so thick. It could be early morning, or it could be, you know, right before the sun totally sets. It's just that like San Francisco gray that's, you know, descended on everything as you're moving through the streets. And you can see, you know, these large, like, black twisted trees poking through occasionally, just like looming up ahead of you. But visibility is probably maybe only 30 feet or so out. So you continue on your way, but it seems that Rook knows where she's going. Otherwise, she's pretending to very well. She just keeps walking in certain directions, getting closer and closer to that smell of water. And eventually, Rook, like, throws out a fist behind you all in, Tony, you would recognize it as, like, a military symbol for, you know, stop. And she kind of crouches and listens. Do any of you have a coin?
Lou's just like, sure, and hands her a copper.
Okay. And she takes it, and she hucks it, like, out in front of her into the mist. And you hear a splash from somewhere beyond. And Rook kind of continues to wait and look forward. And through the mist, you see a glow. And it starts very small, very far away, but it comes brighter and brighter as you see this burning orange light of some kind of lantern that seems to be approaching from across the way. And as it gets closer and closer, you can see that the lantern is hanging from the prow of a boat. It's like a long, almost wide canoe, a passenger boat. And there's something at the back of this boat that is rowing with one of those long, like, sticks to move it along the way here. But it's hard to see exactly what it is. It's almost translucent, like, with all these pinpoints of light inside it, almost as if you were looking at, like, a galaxy that's been kind of compressed, you know, into a vague shape of a body. As this long boat moves towards you, and there's, you know, the scraping sound of the sand as it comes up on the shore and pauses, seeming to wait for you all to board.
Was the coin our offering in this service? Is it safe to get on?
Yeah, we can get on. And she looks, like, suspiciously at the person. Person, thing, whatever is, like, holding the oar. It's like this odd, almost like an amoeba person. It's very strange. But
how deep is the water
on the boat? It's hard to say at this point here on the shore. It's very shallow. Now you can see, like, it's washing up against, you know, the pebbled edge of the shore here. I mean, you can't see beyond 30 feet, so you have no idea what size this, like, lake is, or it's hard to tell.
I think Lou is, like, the last to get on, and she's, like, extremely clenched, and she
water, yeah.
grabs onto Tony's arm, like, white-knuckling it, and sits down in this little boat. You guys, like...
You good, Lou?
Oh, yeah. I love sailing. It's great. It's fine. And, like, this is a small boat, so, like, it can't be that deep. So.
Well, I'm sure... Well, can you swim?
I have. It's been a long time.
Okay. Well, just keep holding on to me, but we'll be okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Stuck in the wilds, and you're afraid of a boat. That's good. Great. Rook says and kind of folds her hands.
Shut the fuck up.
Right.
Hey, priorities. Fear is not always rational, okay?
Okay. And there's, it's very quiet, again, because that oppressive fog and this being that is, like, rowing this boat isn't making any sound, so it's just, you know, the slice of the oar through the water, and then the creaking of the boat as it gently rocks back and forth is all the sounds you're hearing as you're just traveling through this wall of mist.
Have you made this cross many times before, Rook?
I've been this way once or twice, but this isn't my preferred method. Usually it's better to use a ring, like the thing that got us to them the first time, or to enter from one of the other crossing points. This way's a little dramatic.
Pretty big lake, huh?
Yeah. It's big. Cops.
Never small talk with Rook again.
It's the psychopomp here, like a part of the courts, or hi, I'm Saoirse. Nice to meet you. Individual, as she's like waving to this person who is steering this boat.
Yeah, and you see some of the little pinpoints of silver light. They almost look like stars moving around. They shift inside this thing's body, you know, like sparkles, like glitter moving in jelly, right? And you're not sure if that was like a response to you, or there's no sound that comes from this thing. And Rook turns back and looks at the figure and is like, yeah, I mean, everyone you see here is probably going to be a court member, so it's not exactly the safest to just hang out in a Demesne without being part of the court. They can sense you, right, if you stay here for too long, so yeah, that's good. Oh, okay, look, hey, land! She says eventually, as like, yeah, the lantern, you know, continues to swing a bit as you finally, that scraping sound once again, as the boat goes up onto another shore. And the fog here at wherever you've landed is a little bit thinner, so you can see more of what is in front of you here, but there is a large landmass. So like an island, I guess, at the center of this lake. Again, you still can't see too far, but the shores of this thing go on much further than you can see to the left and to the right. So that's good, maybe? I don't know, big island. And you can see in front of you, again, there's all these pebbles, you know, white and gray and black pebbles that form the shoreline of this place before winding up into a path that leads a little bit higher. And you can see through the mist all of these shadowy forms of white marble, like fallen columns or maybe crumbled statues, a whole field of them on either side. Cool. Well, thanks, Rook says, and gets off the boat and waves at the amoeba person.
Tony salutes.
Thank you for getting us here in one piece. Nods and scrambles off the fucking boat.
Great. So you all get off onto the shore, and so Rook is looking around, and she says, yeah, they've changed some stuff. I don't know. I guess if we walk towards the center, though, that's probably a pretty good bet.
Never a bad place to start, I guess.
Are we headed to, like, are these sisters the heads of the Heavenly Court? Do you know much about them?
I know some about them. I don't think they're the Sovereign. So the Sovereign is always the Fae who is, you know, at the top. And there can only be one, but they might be courtiers. I don't really know. If there's one court that really plays it close to the chest, it's the Heavenly Court. They're all very secretive. It's kind of their thing.
Real aloof, yeah. I get that vibe.
Yeah. And there aren't a lot of them either, so it's... They're probably like the smallest court, but they're all quite powerful.
We're just gonna be in and out, so it does not matter how powerful they are, as long as we don't make any more deals, and we are polite, and get the fuck out.
Right. Good. Yes. Correct. Okay, let's go. And then Rook just starts walking up, striding ahead. So as you continue on, you can now see, you know, the ruins all around you. It does look like all of these white marble buildings, very like Grecian in style, have been abandoned, collapsed, as if a great deal of time has passed and the elements, you know, have worn away these magnificent structures. You find yourself stepping over, you know, cobblestones and paved roads that now have been, like, overgrown by plants and just, it's odd. It's like walking through, you know, if you were walking through, like, Pompeii or any of these abandoned ancient civilizations just sitting there. In the quiet, and again, this oppressive fog just filling the whole place. It's very eerie as you step your way over stones and ancient paved roads. Every once in a while, you hear, like, the call of a bird from somewhere in the distance, but you haven't seen really any, like, trees or any other signs of life as you're moving through here. Why don't you all make me some perception check?
Neat! Oof. 11.
Okay, that's not good.
7!
Not good either.
14.
Okay. All right. Aoife, as you are moving through, and all of you, I mean, what are you so focused on, Tony and Lou, right now? Like, where is your attention right now?
Statues. That's creepy. Yeah. Just watching, like, waiting for things to pop out.
Something to just suddenly start moving towards us.
Yeah, for sure. And you're looking, you know, you pass by these, maybe they were like temple squares or trade centers, something. And there are all of these remains of these statues. And what's so weird is that there are always pieces missing, right? It's like all the heads have been chipped off or like arms broken off or just, I don't know, it's weird. And I think you all are getting that, like, creep factor and too busy to notice. But Aoife, you do, as you're looking around and kind of taking in the larger picture, the things more distant, I guess, from you. And you see motion, like, behind one of these buildings here in the distance. You see something very, very large passes through, a dark shape. Very, like, vaguely humanoid shape move through the mist just on the edge of your periphery. You couldn't see exactly what it was, but you knew it was big, like, at least huge in size.
Yeah, she stops immediately and sort of throws out that arm to her side as, like, in that protective gesture of, like, stop. And she says, "There's something over there. I saw a huge shape moving through the mist."
A huge shape?
Like, like bigger than you, or like bigger than a building?
Like the giant huge that we met earlier a few days ago. Like that big.
Oh, that's big. Okay.
I say we pick up our pace and move swiftly through this.
Power walk.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yep.
Head down power walk.
Yep. And Rook starts to yep, you know, kind of race ahead here. And as, you know, Aoife, you've pointed out one of these things, you start seeing more of them, whatever they are. There are multiple of these things moving just on the edge of your vision, always kind of stepping behind buildings or, you know, between alleys just at the moment when you try to look at them. So there seem to be multiple of whatever these things are. And again, yeah, they must be at least 15 feet tall or so. And they're, yeah, humanoid. You think you can see bipedal forms, but they're hard to see. It's like they're white and gray, and they seem to blend in with the mist.
And she's just like, in real hushed voice, is like, there's quite a few of them. They're like 15 feet tall. She's like describing what she sees and just like, yeah, with this like one eye down at the ground, one eye sort of off to the right. Like,
if Lou turns on her glasses to do, we'll try heat vision.
Mm.
Does she pick up on cool. anything?
Yeah, what's the range on that? The distance?
30 feet.
Okay. So I'll say, yeah, your visibility is about 30 feet, so they're just on the edge of your vision here. And these figures, as they pass by, whatever they are not emitting any heat.
Turns her glasses off. Well, they don't emit heat, and I don't know why, but that's even creepier. So, don't mind if I do, and she scuttles past people, trying to move even faster.
Yeah, you start, kind of booking it at this point, moving forward, and out of the mist, you can see something looming ahead of you. It looks like a gateway or a large arch of some kind, with those two columns holding it up, soaring up into the sky, and then a bar at the very top in between them, so like a Stonehenge kind of gate. And as you get closer and closer to this thing that's like crossing over the middle of this path you've been following, you can see that the columns themselves are carved stone figures of tall, tall women made out of this white marble in this very Grecian style. So like caryatids, if you all are familiar with that, like the things that would hold up like temple edges on top of their heads. And as you run towards these things, the statues turn their faces and look down at you all as you are approaching the gate here. They're still balancing that beam on their head. So the way they look at you, they're just turning the edges of their head. And a booming voice calls out, "Hold, travelers. What is it you seek?" One of these statues asks you, looking down at her eyes and keeping her head straight to hold up the beam.
"We were called in to return a favor."
"A favor? For whom?"
"We seek the Weird Sisters."
"Ah, them. Well, you wish to find them then. Do you know the way?"
"Are you trying to make a deal?" Aoife says, very snide.
Lou looks really proud next to her.
And the statue kind of smirks at you and says, "Perhaps, if you do not know the way, I could tell you the way. But I would indeed want something in return."
Aoife looks back to Rook through like the side of her face.
And Rook's like, "How big can this island be, right? What if it's probably just beyond, right?" "No, thank you," Rook like yells up at the statues. And the column says, "Fine, it's your funeral."
"Pleasant."
"Okay.
Thank you."
"Would you tell us what your price is for the information?"
"I would like a favor. A small one."
"Well, that's something we can consider if we can't find our own way."
"Fine. You know where I'll be." She smiles.
"Looks heavy."
"It is."
Weird flex, but okay. Ladies.
Ladies? Yeah. Giant lady. Okay. And Rook starts to lead, and she doesn't walk through the gate. She walks around it, like just, kind of giving them a, she climbs down off the path and around. And one of the other column is like,
"Oh my god, the Heavenly Court is snobby already. We just got here. Rook, I see why you didn't want to accept anything from us, because this is daunting.
It's everywhere. And she just keeps on, walking up the path here. And you keep on walking into the mist, and more of these, like, miles and miles of this, just the ruins and this ancient city or whatever it is, and this statues, and you continue going and going and walking, and you kind of stop, realizing as you've reached a plaza that you've definitely been in before. You come and you circle back, and you're not sure how that happened since you've been walking in a straight direction this whole time. And Rook says, well, fuck. We've definitely been here before, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay, well, let's maybe go.
We could just go a different way.
Yeah, let's go different.
Right. And Rook just was like, which? Just a spinny hand. Do we feel good about West? How about that?
Weird sisters in the West. I like it.
Great.
She points.
We went north the first time, right?
Yeah. You did north. And, okay, West. And as you all are kind of having this conversation, you hear a, excuse me? Excuse me? Coming from, like, a pile of rubble on the side of the road.
Who goes there?
Would you mind terribly moving the rocks so I can see you?
It will cost you a small favor.
Oh, okay. Please move them. I can't see.
Okay. And Lou just kind of like looks at Rook. She's like, scramble, I don't know, shrugs.
Tony will reach down and, or can I tell where it's coming from, the voice?
Yeah, it looks like, so just this crumbled pile of marble, like all these other ones you've been seeing here. So it sounds like it's coming from inside whatever this pile is. So you could like scrape aside, you know, the heavy stones and grit.
Yeah, Tony will move the rocks.
Yeah, and so you do, and you scoop it all aside, and you see, like, lying in the pile, this whole thing appears to be, like, the shattered remains of, like, one of these statues. And you see, as you scrape away the dust, you hear, like, a coughing sound coming from inside. And you scrape the top layer, and you see, like, a marble bust. So, like, whatever the remains of this head of the statue was, and, you know, half of it is chipped, and it really only goes down to one shoulder of this woman. It's probably a beautiful statue once, but now she's, you know, in this pile of rubble. And she says, oh, thank you. That was just the dust. She doesn't have a hand, but she coughs. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. That's, this is great. Fresh air, right? It's nice.
Yeah, I enjoy it myself. And you are?
Oh, I'm a statue.
Okay. How long have you been here?
A very long time. So it's very nice to be out of the pile of rubble. You know, not a lot of people come by here. Yeah, so that's great. Actually, are you visitors? You don't look like Faye.
Yep. Just stopping in.
Great. Okay. I know that I owe you a favor, but actually I have one more request, if you wouldn't mind.
Perhaps you can tell us and we'll go from there.
Sure. If you are visitors here, can you please take me with you when you leave? I would very much like to not be here anymore.
Rook, it's your house.
Rook's like, why are you playing with trash?
It's not trash. It has a mind. It's talking to us.
That's like everything here, probably.
Well, I don't know that. I just got here.
Well, I don't know.
And also, don't be rude. I know. I'm not from here.
Well, just because I don't know everything.
Really? Oh. I'm going to remember that for later when you argue with me.
Wow. Okay. So about my request, could you please take me with you? I promise I will not be a bother. In fact, I can, what do you want? I can, are you looking for something? Perhaps I could guide you.
Well, you do owe us a favor. So how about you guide us to pay back that favor, and then we'll think about it as we get to know each other on the way there.
Okay. Well, I mean, worst case, I guess you leave me somewhere else on the island and I get to see something different, right? So that's not so
yes.
bad.
You're very positive. Yeah. I appreciate that about you.
Good. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay.
How well do you know your way around here if you haven't left this spot?
Oh, I mean, I know things. What are you looking for?
Oh, you know things. Good.
All kinds of people pass back and forth. And you know what? No one ever wants to help somebody yelling for help from a pile of rubble. Can you believe that? How rude. I'm pretty sure that's rude. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure that's rude.
Have you always been a statue? What do you remember from before?
I don't think I was always a statue. Otherwise, why? I feel like if I was always a statue, I wouldn't be so unhappy about always being a statue. You get me?
I'm so sus about this fucking bust right now. First she's like, oh, not too many people pass around here. And now she's like, oh, so many people come by back and forth. I know my way. I know it.
I don't know. If the bust is good enough, I always trust them. I mean, I don't see how it could hurt taking you along while we make our decision. We don't know where we're going, so, I mean, she probably knows better than we do.
I mean, what can it hurt? I don't have any arms. I don't have any arms or legs. So, I mean, what can I do, right? I can bite you. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to bite you. Please take me with you.
Oh my god, you need socialization. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm in a pile of rubble. I've been in a pile of rubble. So, Marnie, are you carrying the bust?
I guess. How heavy is it, realistically?
It's pretty heavy because it's a marble head. So it's probably 10, 12 pounds or so.
Okay, I mean, I can carry 12 pounds with a 10 strength. That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, with both hands, that's not.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, ma'am, if you could direct us, we're looking for the Weird Sisters.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. They are a piece of work. No, you just keep going this way. Yeah.
The west? West? Okay.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I forgot. I don't have hands. Yes, keep going west. You know, I feel like they're still there, but they're not. Isn't that weird?
Really weird. Okay.
Really weird. As you're holding this head that's talking. And Rook's just looking at you with, she doesn't know what to think, but here you are carrying this head. Right, west! So you continue heading west, and then every once in a while the head will, you know, pipe up and go, okay, north now, or nope, left instead of right. And you continue winding through this place until you see something different. You see a ring of these, like, silvery birch trees guarding whatever lies beyond, just this ring in the center of the island, and the head says, oh yeah, that's it. Right in there. So.
For now, do you want to go in my bag? I don't know if you want to see them.
Yeah, that would probably be best if you could put me in the bag. I can't remember exactly if they had anything to do with this, but I have a deep fear of them, which leads me to believe that I probably do.
Okay. I assume you don't need air, correct?
No, I'm a statue.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Great. All right. Well,
I don't have lungs, right? Am I right? Like I'm just a head.
Yeah, you're not wrong, sweetie.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye for now. Signing off. I'm a head.
After Lou shoves this woman's statue head into the bag, Aoife just looks at the two of them and goes, did you think maybe she wished that she were bustier, and that's what they decided to do to her.
Eva!
That's illegal.
That's hilarious! Lou is, like, trying not to laugh too loud. Oh my god. I knew you could sew. I didn't know you were a comedian. Oh, maybe a backup job. Okay, sweetie.
I mean, where do you think my bardic inspiration comes from? It's just a string of poorly told jokes.
Oh, no, no.
Get it? A string.
Oh! I do now.
Eva looks at Tony, who looks as sour as 11.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Just really trying not to give you the satisfaction of the laughter. Oh.
Okay, are you done, Sage? Any more puns?
I know.
You want to get out of the way?
I hope that was just the beginning, but let's move forward.
All right, so you shove the head in the bag, and then, yeah, you have this ring of birch trees in front of you with this kind of natural curved form of these two trees, like, that have grown together into this almost doorway leading into the middle.
Well, it's your favor, Tony, if you want to go on in.
All right, here we go. Yeah,
we're right behind you.
She will enter, or try to.
Yeah, and Rook also puts away the crossbow and just all her weapons and kind of clenches and unclenches her hands, trying to appear non-threatening.
Oh, yeah. Arms out.
And so, Tony, you stride forward. And as you do, as you pass through this gateway, it's probably magic at work, as, you know, you're seeing the scenery around you shifts to somewhere very familiar, somewhere you've been before. This field in the middle of nowhere that has all of these iron wrought tables scattered throughout, and there's a light rain that is pattering now against these toppled over chairs and tables and little broken teacups and dishes and all the things of, like, an outdoor garden party just abandoned and then left to time. And as you look around this place that I think Rook has referred to before, told you the name, it's called the Glass Garden. As you look around, in the very center, there is that pavilion that you have entered before, the one that's made rot completely out of beautiful stained glass, just there in the middle of the rain that gently patters. It's that kind of rain that's like, you don't get soaked through to the bone, but it's just enough that the cold just reminds you of where you are. You can see there are lights shining from inside the glass dome just beyond.
All right, well, Tony makes her way towards the dome.
So you step through the tables and everything and make your way there. And as you step inside, you can see that some of the silks and the colorful fabrics that were there last time are actually drawn over the entrances, maybe keeping out the chill or the rain or whatever it is. So you have to push through them to enter this dome here. And you see strewn about the space are those satin lounges from before that the weird sisters were laid across when you encountered them last. But they seem to be empty. Well, two of them, anyway. And at a table on the far side of the room is one of the sisters. So you see, you know, her statuesque form with that dusty pink rose skin. And she is draped in a... Again, it's similar to, like, whatever that boatman was made of, that, like, ephemeral kind of see-through wrap of, like, filled with those pinpointed stars. And she turns towards you and considers you all. And you immediately, Tony, know that this is not Celine. This is not the one who has been coming to you in your dreams or toying with you as you sleep. Mm-hmm. This is the one who was very quiet in the back last time you spoke. The one who seemed to be almost in charge of the other two. It is good you've come, Tony, and you made the effort to get here quickly. We really do appreciate that. So, come inside, out of the rain.
All right, Tony will step closer and freaks out a little bit that she knew my name. But I guess that boat's gone.
It does seem to be.
Are you sure that you need shelter from the rain? Is that something you really need, Tony?
It's not a gift. Come inside, though I see Rook has been working her charms on each of you. What is it, Sorsha? Franny? Or wait, was that you? Oh, you mortals. The cute little tricks. So sweet. Would you like some tea?
No, thank you. As you said, we are here to repay the favor that I wasn't aware I'd asked for. So, let's just get down to business, shall we?
Business. Well, I do appreciate that. Celine will be sorry to have missed you, but I figured I should handle things. She's easily distracted. So, yes.
Yeah, I can understand that feeling.
Yes, it is quite a mortal penchant she's picked up. It's inconvenient, but I assure you, you'll have none of that with me. And she smiles sweetly at you.
Appreciate it.
Well then, we're all business, so I won't waste anyone's time. I need you all to retrieve something for me. A book from an archfey. You will find this book, you will get it, and you will bring it back to me before the next full moon in your mortal time. And then we shall call one of your favors settled, Tony.
Okay, is the time crunch going to cause any problems for us in finding this book? Is that why we need it before the full moon?
I simply need the book before that point. It must be in my hands by then. I don't care how you find this archfey. I don't care how you find the book. But you need to do it and get the book and get it back to me in that time.
And what is this book?
It is... it's called the Enigma Codex. It is something this fey has had for too long, and I would like it moved. Her name is Penny, by the way. I don't know where she is. I don't know where her dwelling is. You will have to find it.
How do you know that she has it?
Oh, I know. That is not something for you to be concerned about, but she certainly does have it. So you will go, you will get it, and you will bring it back. Simple. Business. Any other questions? I would hate to keep you. You do only have 3 weeks.
Floor's open.
I mean, if you don't know where she is, and all you have for us is the name of the book, her name, and that she's an archfey.
Yes.
Then I don't think we have any more questions, if that's all you know.
Rook. I mean, the questions I have are not anything she'll answer, is the thing, you know?
I mean, you can try.
Before we ask anything else, we should also ask if the additional information are small favors. Because really, she could just say, get this book. She doesn't have to.
And yeah, that's the favor. She's already given you a name, and she's given you the name of the book, which she didn't have to do.
Yeah.
Oh, so asking for information might be considered? Well, then I guess... What if I just explicitly state I am not asking for a favor, but can you tell me? Does that immediately, like, negate the possibility of it just turning into a...
No, she could accept that, as long as you're clear about your intentions and you continue to be clear about your intentions.
Okay, that makes it easier.
Fey will respond to that.
Okay. Well, then, did we ever get your name?
My name? No.
Well, I just... thought you might like to be addressed by your name. I'm not really sure what to call you.
She smiles at you and says, I get what Celine sees in you. You can call me what other mortals have called me. Hecate. It is a name I am fond of. Any other questions from the back? Yes. What about you, Rook? You've been so quiet since you've come here. It's always such a joy having you around. And Rook just smiles, and Hecate smiles back. They clearly have a history. In this whole glance, there's a history that passes before you. You don't know what it is, but...
there's beef.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, if you're all done, you may leave the way you came.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, I suppose, though. Here, Tony, since my sister is so very fond of you... I will give you this. and she pulls, she snaps her fingers and a ring appears in her hand, a woven, like, branch ring, similar to the one that you first used. And she hands it over to you. You break this, and you can appear here. I would recommend you use it to deliver the book in a swift manner.
In taking this, does this count as signing up for a new favor?
No.
Whew.
This is simply a okay. gift. No expectation of return.
She will reach her hand to its full extent and take it.
Mm-hmm. And Rick goes, She just doesn't seem to like any of this. Well then, Hakate, I think we'll take our leave. It's been a pleasure, as always. And you feel Rook, or Tony, Rook is tugging, like, kind of on the back of your cape, just like a little, like, we should leave now.
As she walks away, Tony's gonna blow her a kiss to Hakate.
Yeah, and Hakate goes, oh. And you see, you know, this, like, rosy tone blushes up through her skin. Oh, you are delicious, she says, and smiles as you step backwards out of the pavilion.
Lou looks at Tony and she's like, she will eat you alive. It might feel good in the moment, ooh, but you'll end up with your neck snapped.
Hey, yeah. I wouldn't complain. That's a good way to go.
Oh boy.
Rook is like, nope.
Yeah, Aoife's also just, like, looking at Rook and is like, nope.
All I'm saying is that if Aoife's agreeing with us, you might be wrong.
Oh, God. Actually, Aoife, you know what? You're a bard. Why don't you go ahead, when you heard the name Hakate, why don't you go ahead and give me some kind of bardic knowledge? See, because that name, I think, is familiar to you. Hakate, where have I heard that before?
Indeed.
Let's see. Alright. Where's my die? There it is. Ooh, I'm going to use my new cool feature.
Ooh.
That once per short or long rest, I get to use my force of personality, and I get to replace any d20 roll that I make with my charisma score, which is an 18. So that'll be a total of 19.
Yeah, that's from your celebrity destiny. Yep. Cool. Yeah,
indeed.
So yeah, you're thinking, you're like, oh, I'm not sure. What? And then something sparks for you. What is that? What is the force of personality? What is it about it that, like, you're able to recall that?
So I think she suddenly remembers a song that her dad used to sing that is this, like, very silly sort of almost like parody of a legend about Hikati that, like, everything rhymes perfectly, but she's like, oh, and she's able to remember, oh no, this is what the song actually was that he was just made a parody of.
Ooh, yeah, that sparks your imagination. And you have heard, there are many stories on the mortal, in the mortal realm about a goddess of witchcraft, a goddess of dark magic who people can call on in the blackest of moments, and make a deal, perhaps, to save their lives, or a warlock pact, or things of that nature. So Hakate has quite a cult following in the mortal realm. She's sort of fallen out of vogue, I guess, in terms of, especially with the Empire and the way they're all about, like, progress and science, and they have a very, like, almost like Christianity-based religion, where it's like, just these two gods and not the other ones, like, this is whatever. So, Hakate is an old religion, old magic. If this is the same Hakate, and boy does she have a reputation and a lot of power.
Hmm.
And I think she would say, mulling this over as we're wandering back through this field of ruin and broken statues, back to the ferry boats, and she would say, you know, since... like, I barely remember a time before there were gods in the world, in our mortal world, but maybe if the connection to the gods are gone, what if these people like her, like Hakate, are trying to strike more bargains with us mortal people. Maybe that's why they're scheming with the slumbering quarter, with the sleeping quarter. Maybe that's what they're after, just more souls for the taken to increase their power?
I mean, that sounds logical. Seems like with everybody being abandoned, at least some that I know of, would be a great time for them to make a monopoly on those that are available. So, don't really feel good about helping her get this book, but unless we can come up with some wise way to fulfill the deal without actually giving her the thing she wanted, if we can find some loophole.
All right. Tony's gonna step in and be like, listen, this is my favor that I've been tasked to do, so we're not gonna try and work around the rules here. We're getting this book.
I hate to agree with Tony, but I agree with Tony on this.
Thank you, Rook. That's what powerful people do, isn't it? They just seek out more power. And it's not a whole lot of things that I'm interested in doing, in getting in that way, because it's not much I can do. And again, it's my favor that I am bound to fulfill.
Oh yeah, you pull a sort of a gentle hand on Tony's like arm and be like, we're here to help you fulfill it. And of course, and she kind of looks up to Tony with these sort of like big, you know, sort of mousy pleading eyes. And she's like, I just want you to be careful. Every song that I know about here ends in heartbreak, and I'd hate for that to be you.
Thank you, Aoife. And believe me, I'm grateful that you guys want to help at all. It's not necessary. I don't ask you guys to do this with me. I mean, I did this, so. But I appreciate you having my back.
I mean, for what it's worth, you all got a pretty raw deal signing up with me, and the fact that you didn't leave me to die and are still here means that I, you know, I owe you all of you. So, you know, if you have to get a stupid book, Tony, I'm going to help you get the stupid book, right?
Lou just kind of shrugs and is like, I don't like bending over for the powerful when I know that they're not good people, but if there's nothing that I can do to prevent them from getting more power, then there's nothing I can do. And I'm not going to make you do anything or pressure you, but if I do see something that I think is an option, I will present it to you and let you consider.
All right. Well, can't stop you from doing that.
Well, to Coven then, to do some research to see where we can find this Archfey. Where do Archfey like to hang out? Why are they called Archfey? What do they do? It was just like loudly musing questions.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we probably don't even have to worry about all the future stuff because the Archfey will probably kill us, so. That's, you know, a positive.
That was my guess.
Yeah.
Great.
No, Archfey are, they, so there's like the sovereign courts, right? And they're all fey join and they grow in power, right? As more and more fey join a court. That's kind of how it works. But the Archfey, they're born strange. They're dangerous, right? It's like magic just spins around them and the world changes wherever they go. And so usually they lock themselves away, right? And they build their own little world and they... I mean, I've never met one. I've never seen one. I don't think most fey have. There's like a saying, you know, right? If an archfey is coming, you should get the fuck out of there. Like, the further away you are from them, the better, because the shit just goes wrong around them, right? So, I mean, that's going to be the huge thing. Like, trying to find where this fey is, that's that's no small task. And then going into wherever she is, that's also no small task. And then asking her nicely to take something is going to be a haul. So we'll probably die. We probably don't even have to worry about, you know, power and all that. So, you know.
Boy.
I just got a boyfriend and you're telling me I'm gonna die?
You got a boyfriend?
You got a boyfriend?
Did not tell me about that.
And she, like, immediately, like, clasps her hands over her mouth.
Secret. Tony has the, like, old face with, like, fists in front of her mouth, just like, oh, shit, no.
Everything, like Lou's face just goes blank thinking about, like, oh, my God, has she had the talk? Does she even know what to do?
Oh, my God.
Does she know what the right way to be treated in a relationship?
Who did she meet in the wilds? What is Aoife dating? What?
Who and or what?
And or what?
Is this girl boning?
What kind of strange?
She better not be.
No. What kind of face strange is Aoife getting? Oh my God.
Yeah, Aoife is absolutely fucking mortified. And it's just like, and she takes her clasped hands down from her mouth and just very calmly puts them to her side and keeps walking head down towards the boats. It's just like, in her mind, she's like, this isn't happening. This isn't happening. We're walking.
Oh. Yeah. And so this all occurs, like, just as you have been moving. You know, you've gotten out of the glass garden and you've continued your way down and you can, you know, see the boat still waiting on the shore just beyond for all of you.
I'm going to take the head out of the bag.
Yeah. So you do, and, oh, great. Oh, great. Okay, thank you. Thank you for taking me. Wow, I'm touched. So yeah, if you could just take me on the boat and then across the lake. Please.
Does anyone want you not to leave? Is there any danger? Should we try to take you?
I don't remember, but I want to leave. I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, I've heard that before from a very suspicious pumpkin. So,
well, I'm not a pumpkin. I'm a statue. She smiles.
Aoife would like to take out a coin from, you know, copper piece from her bag and plunk it into the water and to summon another boat and put the head on that boat and instruct them to take the head to the other side.
So you throw the coin into the water, like, expecting, like, haha, another boat! And you see, like, the amoeba figure kind of look at your coin, fall into the water, and then they turn back at you and the stars rearrange themselves. Another boat does not appear to be coming.
She swears in her breath and is like, duck.
Yeah, please, I would really like to leave. And I wish I could. I just know I'm not supposed to be here like this forever.
Tony has no opinion other than she's sus. So, I mean, we could take you across the thing and then just leave you there, but maybe don't come with us.
That's fine. I think I just need to get across the lake. And then I will ask nothing of you.
Looking at the boat person, Lou's gonna hold up the head and be like, can they come?
The stars rearrange themselves in the body. There doesn't seem to be any other indication. They're not making, like, an aggressive gesture barring your way.
Oh, I feel really bad, but also I don't know anything about this place, and it makes me nervous to do anything. Rook has not told us anything about Stoneheads. I wrote down everything she told us, but there's nothing about this, Rook.
Rook doesn't know.
I need you to know. I need somebody to know.
I don't...
Perhaps on our next, you know, trip here, we'll be ready to take you with us.
No, please take me with you. I'll what do you want? I don't have anything to... Please!
Put her in the back of Holden.
Okay. I mean, that's technically an extra-dimensional space. So if she can go there, then it's like she already left.
If you have to put me in the bag to get across, fine. That's fine.
Okay, I cannot leave her here. It will weigh on my conscience. So I say put you in the bag and we'll go across and please do not fuck us over.
I won't. I don't think I will. I don't think I can. Okay.
Then we're going to get you out of here.
I'm just ahead.
Knock on wood.
For now. Don't limit yourself. Who knows what you could be. All right. You're going back in. Put her back in the bag. This is going to get me killed. And I'm going to take a big gulp. Throw an actual coin into the river or lake and just get my butt planted on that seat.
Yeah, so you all load up onto the boat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you can continue back to shore. It's just as boring and silent and strange as it was the first time, as you make your way across, maybe even a little bit more silent as you all kind of consider the weight of what the hell you're getting into, which is unraveling in some way that you don't fully comprehend. But as it plays over in your mind, you make your way back, the scraping against the shore, and you land on the far shore. And you can see, you know, just beyond the chicken house. Without any help from shit on your eyes, you can see it just beyond, waiting there for you. Seems to be just fine.
Nothing's happened, so Lou will scramble off the boat.
Yep.
Do I open? I'm gonna open the bag.
Do it!
Okay, I'm doing it. Don't rush me. And she'll go ahead and, like, open the drawstring and, like, reach her hand in to get the head.
Yeah. And as you reach your hand in, you're expecting to make contact with stone, but you feel fine hair, like human hair, and cold skin as you reach into the bag.
Excellent.
I pull out. I know what it's gonna be. But I'm just going to pull it out so I don't have to experience this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But you just see, like the hairs on her arms stand up as she makes contact and slowly pulls out.
Yeah. So you pull out the head. It's clearly the same woman who was made out of stone before you crossed this lake, but now it is the cold, dead, severed head of that same woman, and her eyes are closed, and she has a smile, peaceful smile, on her face.
Oof.
I still think we did the right thing, but Aoife, if you could get your shovel, that would be great.
She reaches out her hand off to the left, and suddenly, 6 seconds later, a shovel magically appears in her hand. All right. I think we made the choice, the right choice, too, Marnie.
Okay. Right. And she just kind of, like, lightly sets down the head and will help shovel.
Too bad we don't have a speak with dead spell that I'm sure she'd have an interesting story to tell, but I suppose we'll have to bring someone else back eventually.
Yeah, I think that it's probably good that she just rests right now. She seems happy with it, to be honest.
So you dig the hole into this strange earth in this strange land, and bury whatever was left of this person who was trapped there for who knows how long. You kind of tamp the dirt down. I think that's where we're going to end the episode.
Fucking nice. Fay.
They're all a bunch of dicks, except for...
Maybe. Well, I mean, the ones you've had a mixed bag. But before we end the episode proper, of course, we have a letter. So, Nassim, did you get in Slack the letter I sent you?
Yeah, I did. Shall I read it?
Yeah, so you receive a letter from your mother.
Mama! Your
mommy Tony! So go ahead and, read that for us.
All right, it says, "Dearest Tony, I hope this letter finds you well. I know it's only been a short while since you set off for the front, but I already miss you terribly. Those few months you were with us after completing your training spoiled me. Your father is getting Geo ready to help him take the horses to market at the end of the season, so pretty soon I'll have just the plants to talk to, though I suppose this isn't really anything new. I swear, yesterday you and your brother were small enough to hold in my arms, ooh, and today I turn around to find you have sprouted into full-grown adults. Anyhow, I promise I didn't write this letter to make you feel guilty. I know that wherever you are exactly where you need to be right now. I wanted to send you something that I've been working on for the past few summers, but didn't get a chance to finish before you left. You know how I always taught you to speak to plants to help them grow. Most of the time, simple words are more than enough, but sometimes the more stubborn specimens need a little magical push to open up. Use it wisely. I'll write again soon, but until then, all my love to you, my darling daughter. Love, Mom." And there is a clothed, wrapped in cloth object. With the letter.
Yeah. So as you open up this little package that she sent with you, it's something about the size of like a charm, like a pendant that you could hang on a necklace. And it looks almost identical to something you've seen your mother wear. So Nassim, what does that look like? What does this pendant look like? Something your mom would have worn all the time. It has like a plant kind of theme.
Oh, I was going to say it's probably a lily, like just a flower.
Yeah, it's like a burnished, like almost a ceramic shiny lily that she has created here. And this, my dear Tony, is actually a magic item. Your mom has sent you a charm of plant command. So I'll read it off for you. So the charm has three charges. While you bear the charm, you can expend one charge as an action to cast the Speak with Plants spell. For the duration of the spell, you also have advantage on charisma checks made to influence the behavior, demeanor, and attitude of plants. The charm regains all expended daily charges at dawn. So,
amazing! Cute! Love that!
Yeah, and you can also check out the spell, too, because it's got some cool additional uses, because not only can you, like, talk to plants to ask them, like, you know, kind of basic questions or, like, what's going on, but you can also, like, command plants to, like, if there's difficult terrain, you can, like, make them move out of your way, or you can, you know, ask different things of them, or it's pretty cool, so.
My plant soldier dreams are coming true.
Yes!
Yes!
I love this. Thank you. Thank you, Mama. Yeah.
Oh, sweet mother.
She's gonna go find a fat gold chain to hang it off of.
Hell yeah. Your giant lily gold chain. Fucking love
it. The classiest lily pendant on the worst, gaudiest chain.
I love it. No, I love this. Oh boy. Well, thank you everybody so much for joining us for episode 18 of Venture Maidens. We bring you down and we bring you up, and that's what we try to do. Seriously, all thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please do consider subscribing right here on Twitch. You know, you can hit that little purple button, and you know, that profit goes to us, and that's super awesome. If you're watching on YouTube, please do consider, you know, subscribing, liking, you know, leaving us a comment. Super helps for metrics for people to find and grow the show. And of course, if you're not already following us on social media, make sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's the best way to keep up with all the awesome shit we're doing. on everything going on there. So it's all going to be good stuff. So make sure to follow us, do all the things, subscribe, do the good stuff, the good work. Yes, yes. And of course, so thank you all, of course, for sticking with us and for, you know, watching the show and supporting and following and doing all the things. But the, for the people who just go above and beyond, we always like to take some time to thank you, the Patreon donors who go to patreon.com/adventuremaidens and donate monthly to keep the show going. I mean, that's your Patreon donations are the only way we pay the cast, the way we expand the show, the way we get cool intro videos, the way, you know, we can make things like books and zines and all kinds of content. It's all thanks to you. So we like to say a thank you directly to our highest donating tiers. So let's start things off. Hey, for Arnie's cohorts, thank you so much, Cody Becker at Cody Rolls Her on Twitter.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin. I saw you earlier in the chat at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter.
Yes, and thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
Thank you, Richie113 from our Discord server.
And then down to our Farrah's Drinking Meat tier, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Markali.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Fable.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, Tony. I love that Tony gets to read Tony. Tony is always stoked in the chat when you get to read it. So thank you, Tony. We love you. We love you. Oh, wow. Well, that's it. That's all we got for you. So thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, wait, did I do sign-offs?
We didn't do outros.
You didn't. I remembered. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
Hello, I am Katie, and I have been Luveri Sath, your Drow Rogue. Female.
Hey, hey, I am female. I'm also female. I'm Nassim, and I was playing your half-orc fighter, well, your flirty half-orc fighter, Fitonia Silvertail.
You're blowing kisses and shit. The goddess of witchcraft. That's fine.
Oh, yes. What could go wrong? Let's stir that cauldron, baby.
Yes.
Yes. And I am Sage, and I am your boyfriend missing bard, Aoife Flannery.
Oh.
We are going to be all in your business.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back to Kelvin next episode and just deal with all of this drama. Love it. Love it. Well, until then, everybody. Until next time.
Venture away!